Wow. I feel high and lifted up here. Maybe I'll jump down there and do some preaching down there. That Jerry you're talking about, my wife's wondering, who is that Jerry? Sweeps floors. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's good to be here with all of you and looking forward to having a weekend together, sharing the word of the Lord and ministering his word to each one of your hearts. I understand, at least tradition-wise, that on Friday night is a message for the youth. So I was directed to share a little bit towards the youth here tonight. I see a lot of youth, and that's a good thing. I used to be one myself. It doesn't seem that long ago, but I was a 20, 21-year-old young man. I was converted at 19, and a few, two, 3 years later, I moved to Houston, Texas from Ohio, and I got out on my own and got away from all my security blankets and all my comforts, and it was in that situation that the Lord really pressed on me and brought me to a place of what I would call biblically a full surrender to the will of God, whatever that may be. And I remember thinking, that may be, Lord, it's fine with me. That may be a janitor in the church. It doesn't really matter. I don't care what it is. I came to the end of myself. I had kind of like an Apostle Paul experience, a Saul experience on the road to Damascus. And I really came to the place where it's Lord, this life that I have is not yours, it's not mine, it's yours, and so I want to surrender it. But I had no idea what that meant. And so I went to the pastor of the church I was attending. It was a Baptist church at the time, and I asked him that question. I said, I want to surrender my life to the Lord. What does that mean? And I don't think he maybe knew the answer to that question, but he guided me and directed me to go to a Bible college up in near Chicago, Illinois. And so I said, if that's what it means, that's where I'm going. So I went there, and that led to a number of different things in my personal life and in my spiritual life. But what I would like to address here tonight is for those of you who are maybe, I don't know, 16, 18, 20, 22, 24, on up early married, those of you who are younger, and I'm 60, by the way, I'm 65, and my wife here just yesterday turned 62, and we have three natural children, and my oldest son is 26, I think it's 26 or 25, and he's married, living in Tennessee. My daughter is still at home, but she's in a courtship with a young man in Tennessee, and so there might be a wedding in the future here. And my youngest son, who is about 22, he's still at home. He's working for a construction crew. And then we have two little boys here. We have two little boys that we've adopted. We had them from the hospital. They were boys that we were in foster care. We took them in from the hospital, and their parents were same parents on drugs. And they took the children, the babies, and we brought them to our home and then adopted them a couple of years ago, which has really been a challenge. You know, I used to think as a young man, why didn't God wait to give us children when we're wiser, when we're older? You know, we have more wisdom. Well, I come to find out why he didn't give them to us when we're wiser, because we don't have the strength to deal with them. And so, again, the Lord is always much wiser than we are, even though we may question him. And so, but we're thankful, and we are needing the grace of God, obviously, for strength and help, because when the youngest there is Tommy, when he would be 20, that would put another 15. I would be 80 years old, and he's 20. So it'll be an interesting journey over the next number of years. Well, I want to speak to the young people. And I, some of you who are 18, 19, 20, 21, I sat in your place here this evening as a young man It wasn't in a church setting like this. It was in a fundamental independent Baptist church. And my heart was broken. My heart was broken. And I was in a place of real brokenness and repentance, and in a place where I could go to the altar and truly say, Lord, it's over. Whatever you want. I mean, literally, whatever you want, it's all yours. And in that position, the Lord moved me. And I will say this moved me rather quickly. And I believe God wants to grow us up and move us in the direction He wants us to go in a rather quick manner. You know, honor your Creator in the days of your youth. And that youth is an important time of life because it's when we have our strength. And so I want to encourage you young people to remember your Creator and honor your Creator. And this message can go to 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, and even to 60-year-olds and up. It's a biblical concept, and you're never too late to start. Amen? You're never too late to say, okay, Lord, and let's just do it. And better late than never. Well, I'd like you, you don't have to turn. I'm going to ask you to turn here a little bit later, but I want to read one verse to you. And that'll be the launching pad here for our message this evening. It's found in Romans chapter 11. Listen to me as I read it. Simply one verse, a very short verse. It says this, speaking of the nation of Israel and its blindness and then coming back to the Lord. It says, for the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, meaning God does not change His mind. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance, without a change of mind. Now, many of us know a lot about gifts, maybe not enough. The Pentecostals can probably teach us a lot about gifts, or they sure would like to teach us a lot about gifts. And we don't specialize much in gifts in many of the churches that we associate with. As a matter of fact, probably tonight, if I ask you what your gift is, many of you probably wouldn't even know what your spiritual gift is. And so we do need to be raised up a little bit with regards to understanding the gifts that God has given to us. But here in Romans chapter 11, it talks about, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. In other words, not only does God give you gifts here this evening, and I believe if you're a child of God, you have spiritual gifts, some one, some two. The Bible talks about those who have even more than that. But there's also the callings of God. The callings of God. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And probably you're sitting here and thinking, what is callings? And I understand gifts. But what is this idea of the calling of God? Now, I believe this with all my heart. We're going to see this as we go through here, that every one of you who is a child of God has a calling upon your life. A calling. Just like your little Samuel. Samuel! You know, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel said, here am I, Lord. And three times, I think it was, God called him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The call of God upon the life of Saul. And I believe if God has saved you here this evening, He has a calling upon your life. And the reason why I share this with the youth, because it's a good thing for young people to understand their calling early in life and how to respond to the call of God as the Lord gives them a calling. Now, the word calling here means your profession or your vocation or your life purpose. Your life purpose. Now, when I was in school, in high school, especially in college, people would ask this question. I was in a secular college for 4 years. I was actually converted in my sophomore year of a secular college. But they would ask this question, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to be when you grow up? And of course, the answers were something like this. Well, I'm going to be a doctor, or I'm going to be a lawyer, or I'm going to be an astronaut, or I'm going to be the president of the United States, or I'm going to be a plumber or an electrician, or I'm going to be many, many things. That's what I'm going to be when I grow up. And that's how the natural mind thinks. The natural mind understands that there is a purpose for our life. We ought to take our life and use it for something. Amen. But in the spiritual perspective, when God brings you to faith in Jesus Christ, there is also a life purpose, and there is also a vocation. In other words, each one who are children of God have a place in the kingdom of God, have a calling, have a vocation, have a purpose, a life's purpose. And here's one thing I've seen over the years. I've been in ministry for 35 years, but I've seen people who don't understand their spiritual life calling and their purpose, and they will simply settle down into their natural profession, or as we call it, a calling, and just live out their life and make money and do their work and grow old and wonder at the end of their life, what was it all about? And many people sit in churches year after year as a spectator, and they don't understand their calling. What God is specifically calling them to do. So when people ask me, Jerry, what do you do for a living, or what do you do for your profession? I don't know where to answer them, whether the natural or whether the spiritual, but I do have two professions. I do have two callings. My first profession, I'm a painting contractor. For a number of years, I flipped houses and I remodeled houses. But if you really want to know what my calling is in life, is to pastor a church and to be a teacher and an evangelist. That's my calling, spiritually speaking. And I know it's easy for many of us just to say, well, I don't understand my calling. I'm just going to settle in and be a painter, be a plumber, be an electrician, be a lawyer, be in many things. I'll make money, I'll enjoy life, and I'll die and stand before God, and hopefully He'll reward me. But I don't think it's going to work that way. We need to understand that we have a calling in life and a purpose. And so when the Bible talks about the gifts and the callings of God, that they're without repentance, God has given you a calling, and He's also given you the gifts to fulfill that calling. So we have here this idea of gifts and calling. And I trust that, and I've seen this over the years, that you're not here tonight a spectator and filling a pew. You know, we talk about people who fill pews and churches where people are just coming, and this can be entertainment, spiritual entertainment. You know, the Old Testament prophet said, he's speaking of himself, I come and I speak and I'm one as it plays on a good instrument, and they hear my words, but they do them not. Because their heart's going after covetousness, or their heart is going after other things. And many people can be here, and it happens in our home congregation too, that people come just to hear what is the word from the Lord, with no intention of doing anything about it. Gifts and callings. The calling of God. And I don't want you to get to the place in your life, maybe so you're there now, where you say, I just don't have any purpose. I don't understand that. How someone can be called of God into salvation, called of God into a life of holiness, called of God out of sin into the kingdom of God, and not have purpose in their life. And then say, well, I guess I can't see any purpose in me spiritually and in the kingdom of God, so I'm going to just pour myself into this natural world and build a business. Or build another, a natural kingdom, and build a house, and buy a yacht, and just pour myself into training men and women into my business, into making money. Now, don't get me wrong, I believe we ought to make some money, I believe we ought to provide for ourselves, but that's not the calling of God on your life. Amen. And so, when it talks about the gifts, it's talking about a spiritual gift. Callings, it's talking about a spiritual calling. Now, I think of the Apostle Paul. You know, he's a good example of this. He was a tent maker. It's interesting that you never find this out from Paul. Of all his letters, he doesn't talk about his tent-making business and how things are going. You find this out from Luke in the book of Acts, how that Paul was dwelling with Priscilla and Aquila because they were both in the same occupation, and Priscilla and Aquila were tent makers. And so Paul, he had an occupation, he had a profession, but that profession did not consume his life. The thing that consumed his life was his calling, and the gifts that God had given him to fulfill that calling. So I want to ask you a question just starting off here tonight. We're going to get into a couple of points about the calling, but what is your calling? What is your calling? I mean, when did God call you and say, Simon, do you hear me? Jay, do you hear me? Henry, do you hear me? Yes, Lord. What is it, Lord? What would you have me? Isn't that what Paul said? Lord, what would you have me to what? To do. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to take this life now that I'm giving it to you? What do you want me to do? And the Lord answered that right away. If you read his testimony, I'm going to be an apostle to the Gentiles, priest to the Gentiles. Interesting. I want to share a little bit later on about the life of Saul here, but the life of Paul. But in an honest and sincere heart, Lord, what would you have me to do? This is my life. What is my call to duty? When you ask the Lord that question in the Bible, he gives you an answer. If it's out of a sincere heart, you talk to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. And Isaiah saw the Lord. It says that many of you have maybe these verses memorized, or you have them on your living room wall. But Isaiah heard the Lord say, who shall go for us, and whom shall I send? Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. Here am I. I'm willing. And the Lord right away said, I'll take that. Here we go. Here's what I want you to do. And he told him exactly his calling and where he's going to go, what he's going to do. Well, I grew up unconverted. Yeah, my family was not Christian. Like many of you, have an advantage over what I had. And I don't ever remember my family sitting down and praying at the table for food. My family had a big white family Bible right there with the encyclopedias in some sort of a dresser drawer thing. And I occasionally got that Bible out and looked through the pictures. The pictures were kind of nice to look at. And I knew about Jesus. I knew about Christmas. I knew about Easter. And yet I was never taught anything about Christianity or spirituality. So I'm 19 years old, and I get converted. And I won't go into the how that happened, but I was converted. And a few years later, I ended up at this Baptist college. And when I got to the Baptist college, one of the things that was a prominent thing there at the Baptist school, which I think is needed to be more prominent, maybe even in our settings. By the way, I think the Baptists have a lot of good things about them. I think the Pentecostals have a lot of good things about them. I think the Mennonites have a lot of good things about them, and I'm the kind of person who wants to draw all these good things and not reject groups, but actually try to learn from them. Amen. We don't have to elevate ourselves above each other. Maybe we could try to learn from each other. And so I went to the Baptist College, and the question there, which we men especially, and ladies, if you choose to get married, you enter into a calling that's on your husband's life, because the two of now have become one. And he's the head. If you're in a home where you have a father and mother, you can enter into their calling as a young woman, as a young lady, as you join into your father and your mother's calling. But I heard this so many times. Boy, if I heard it, I had a dollar for every time I heard it, I could have paid for our trip here up to Maine. Brother Jerry, what's God calling you to do? What's God calling on your life? We were in a Bible school, 3,000 students. 1,500 of them were young men. And especially the young men, what is God calling you? What is God calling you to do? I don't hear that hardly ever in the setting till the last 30-some years. What is God calling you to do with your life? Now, just think about this. If Jesus Christ came down, God in the flesh, and he
He lived and walked amongst us, and he offered himself up a sacrifice for each one of us and made atonement for our sins. And then he saves your soul. Don't you think that there is more important things to life than simply eating and drinking and feeding your faith? He doesn't say amen to everything. I just want to make sure. I thought I heard a few of those before. What is God calling you to do? Now, I was pressured into giving an answer. And I remember those years. I'm 23, 24 years old, a young man. What is God calling me to do? And I was in Bible school one day, and I went to a presentation of a missionary in Philippine Islands. His name is Rick Martin, a big name in the Baptist circles there. I saw the work that he was doing in the Philippine Islands, and I don't know, I tried to push myself, and I said, God is calling me to the Philippine Islands. You know, I had ministry compassion on the people there. God is calling me, and so from that point on, for the next couple of years, that's where I was heading. God's calling is upon my life. And I made out prayer cards. I think my wife still has one of those. And I was a young guy back then with my suit and tie and no beard. It probably wouldn't even recognize me if you'd see the picture. I was heading to the Philippines, tried to raise support. God shut the door down. I never made it. I did make a 30-day trip, survey trip, but I never made it. Even though my heart was willing, I never made it. And I found out that God had other plans for me, his calling. And I tried to push it. And I ended up, maybe a couple years being misdirected. But I wanted to share with you tonight here some of the things I've learned about the calling of God on our life. Especially young people. I mean, if I was a 21, 22-year-old sitting here tonight, I'd be on the edge of my seat. Lord, I want to know. I've given you my life, Lord. What do you want me to do? Now let me be the heart of everyone who's truly come to Jesus, who's truly been smitten to the ground on their road to Damascus, who truly sees that light shining about them, and they fall to the ground and they hear a voice. Why are you persecuting me, Saul? And Saul, in a broken heart, says, Lord, what would you have me to do? By the way, if your heart's not there tonight, in sincerity, might as well leave. Because it's not going to do any good here tonight. Message. What would you have me to do, Lord? Well, I want to share a few things that will help you to understand what the Lord would have you to do. I've noticed over the years people missing the calling of God for many reasons. And I'd like to share some of those reasons with you this evening. Let's pray before we look at those things tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us and you desire to save us and redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto yourself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, Lord. And so, Lord, may the word of the Lord find a place in our hearts here tonight that we might grow and benefit and be edified from the preaching and teaching of your word. Lord, may you call people tonight. Just call people to their purpose, their life purpose. And may they elevate that purpose to the most important thing in their life. Lord, help us tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The calling of God. I like this. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. In other words, God says, here's what I want you to do, Saul. And it's not 2 or 3 years into his journey that God says, oh, I changed my mind. No. It's the same as it's always been. God's calling. Now, there's things I want to share with you that are biblical that I've learned over the years that will help you to understand God's calling. First of all, God's calling. I like this one. God's calling is not about your area of strength. Listen to the young people. God's calling is not about your areas of strength. A lot of young people, they think
that it's my area of strength that God is going to use in my calling. Now, I was deceived for a couple of years early on in my life. I grew up in a golf course environment. My parents lived right across from the golf course pretty much all my life, and they were members of the golf course. All I had to do every day was wake up, eat my bowl of cereal and my toast, walk across the front yard, step on the golf course, and start playing on hole number one. I was a member. I could go over there day and night, play, and I was over there for so many hours that I can't even think about how much time I wasted over there playing golf. And so when I came to Jesus, and when I said, Lord, what do I do with my life? What is my calling? People came to me and said, well, listen, you have a natural talent. You have a wonderful talent of playing golf. Why don't you use that talent for Jesus? I thought, you know, can't you see me on the PGA Tour? And I got on my big golf bag, Jesus' sake.
Yep.
And the TV cameras are on that thing, and boy, would that be a great way to evangelize. And of course, if I win or maybe I'm interviewed, I'm always going to give praise to the Lord. And maybe the salvation message or something, I can slip in there on CBS or ESPN. And God can use my strength, my talent. Come to find out, he didn't want that at all. You know why he doesn't want that? Because the Bible says my strength is made perfect in what?
Weakness.
And you know what I was weak in? As a 21-year-old young man, I was petrified of public speaking. I was in college and I had to take speech class at Ohio University. And I mean, I got so sick, nearly vomited when my day came to give a 5-minute speech in front of my fellow students. I despised it. I was so terrified. Some of you know what I mean by that. I was terrified of getting up in front of people and speaking, and lo, here I am. And for the last 35 years, this is what I have been doing. God took the very weakest thing of my life and made it a strength, and he took that natural strength I had and he got rid of it. You know why he did that? Because if I would have served Jesus and my strength, I would have gotten glory for it. I'm a good golfer. How did you get to be a golfer? I worked hard at it. How many practice balls I hit out there on the range? Oh my, millions of them. But you know what? If the Lord gets glory from me teaching his word, I'll say this, it's all him.
Right.
It's all him. To God be the glory. I have nothing to do with it. And by the way, your calling has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with your strength. It has everything to do with him and his strength. So some of you sit here and say, I can play an instrument. I do a piano really good. Can God use me? I think it's great to play instruments. I can play guitar. I can build a business. I have so many talents in the natural world. Does God want to take those and use them for his kingdom? I got news for you. I don't believe he does. I believe he wants you to surrender all that stuff up to him. Then done. Like Paul said, it's all done. I lay it all down. And now you take me and you use me as you desire. And I know, I go back, I mean, I'm 22, 23 years old. I'm in Bible school, same one that Brother Danny Kennison went through many years ago. But I'm in Bible school, and I'm saying, Lord, are you sure this is what you want me to do? And God was calling me to get up and preach. And I said, Lord, I can't do this. But my favorite saying was, Lord, I can't, but I will. But I will. I made a fool of myself a number of times, and I said, God, you got the wrong calling here. But you know, the Lord gave me the grace that I needed and brought me to the place where he could actually use me as a preacher to teach about his word. I've been doing that for 30, 35 years. I meet people who used to know me when I was 18, 19, and they say, you're doing what? You're the most introverted person back then. You despise public speaking, and God is using you doing this?
Yeah. To God be the glory. Now, so you're sitting here and you're thinking, I can't do this and this and this. That's exactly what you need to open your heart up to do. That's exactly where God's saying, that's where I can get glory. I want you to look here with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. This is talking about a calling of salvation, but it has application to other areas of life. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 says this, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh." It's good to be wise spiritually, but not many smart people after the flesh, not many mighty, strong, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. And here's why, that no flesh should glory in His presence. I like that. You know, the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. It's like God says, nobody's coming up here to heaven and boasting at all. The only boast is going to be in my Son, Jesus Christ. And you're not going to boast about how you acquired some great golf talent or some great music talent and how you used it to bless the Lord. No, no boasting in that either. The only boast you're going to have is you surrender to Jesus, you let His Spirit control your life, and He brought out your gifts and callings, and you glorified Him through that. And you can say, Lord, it's nothing of me. Amen. It's all of you. And the last verse here of this chapter, verse 31, says that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Number one, young people, listen. God doesn't want your strengths. He doesn't want your strengths. He wants your weaknesses. He wants the things that you say, I could never do that. I don't have any abilities. I don't have any strength. I don't have any talents. That's what God wants. That people can look at you and say, wow, that's not that person. That's the grace of God. So when God calls people, He calls them in areas of their weaknesses. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, my strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. It's hard for us to understand because we tend to think naturally. Lord, I mean, I can do this good, Lord. I've been doing it all my life. Why don't you just take what I'm doing good and just kind of add it to the Christian experience? And the Lord says, no, because you'll get glory. I want to glorify my Son. A lot of people miss the calling of God because they sit and naturally think, I can't do it. I can't do it. Naturally speaking, I have no ability. I have no grace. I could never get up there and speak in front of those people. Some of the young men sitting here, I could never do that. You're right. You could never do that. Bible says, I can do all things through what? Through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. You know, we're lacking a lot in prophets and preachers. Amen. And teachers. And one of the reasons why we're lacking is because there are many young men sitting out here today who are saying, I cannot do that. I despise public speaking. And it's not in me. I'm just saying to you tonight, you're the exact person the Lord has called. You're the exact person. Because it's God who'll get glory from your experience. I like the story of Moses. You know Moses. He was, I don't know what happened to Moses. He got angry one day and killed an Egyptian. And you know the whole story. He goes out 40 years. Well, that's a long time. 40 years in the wilderness. Comes back and he's probably stammering and stumbling around. He's not been under the great teachers there in Egypt and in the king's, Pharaoh's house. And the Lord says, I'm going to send you.
And he said, nothing to it. You know what? I can't speak. This tongue, I can't do it.
But you're the guy I want. Exactly the guy I want. Because my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, the Lord got provoked with it. And I think sometimes the Lord's provoked with us. What do you mean, Moses? Who made man's mouth? Who made man's tongue? What do you mean you cannot speak?
Some of you sit here, young men, I can't speak. Oh, did you forget who made your mouth? Who made your tongue? What do you mean?
But the Lord was upset with Moses. He didn't have faith. Your calling will always be directed towards your weakness. This is a problem of most people in the church. They think somehow that I have to have strength, my strength. No, God is looking for your weaknesses. And it's one of the ways that many people miss the calling of God on their life. Secondly, your calling is not about what you like. Oh, what you like. Lord, call me to Hawaii.
Lord, I just have a good feeling about that. Maybe the island of Kauai would be nice.
Yes. I was preaching to the book of Acts here the last 3 years. We just finished it 2 or 3 Sundays ago. One of the things I saw in that book is Paul's journey. And one of the lessons that came out of that book, which I emphasized as we went through it, is Paul, his likes. Paul loved. He loved with a passion. He loved Israel. He loved his brethren. He said in Romans chapter 9 and 11, he said, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, and I would be willing to be cursed from Christ for my brethren according to the flesh. I love these people.
Where did God send him?
Gentiles.
Now you and I are thinking, wait a
minute, Lord, you're missing a great opportunity. Here's the guy who has such passion and love for the Israelites, and you're sending him to the wrong people. Oh no, I know where I'm sending him. Sending him to the right people. I know, maybe you know this, understand this in the book of Acts, but all the way through the book of Acts, Paul has a struggle with going to the Gentiles and leaving the Jews alone. As a matter of fact, Jesus comes to him and says, listen, Paul, it's a vision. He appears to him. He says, Paul, be encouraged. These people, these Jews, are not going to hear you. Go to the Gentiles. So Paul takes off to the Gentiles. He's out there to the Gentiles. He's his second missionary journey, I think it was. And he's still got a heart for these Jews. He wants to go back to Jerusalem during the feast and preach to them. I want to preach one more time.
God sends a prophet, Agabus, says, don't go. They're going to put you in these chains and they're going to bind you up. Don't go.
There's some disciples that come along and say, Paul, don't go. Don't go there. You're going to get in trouble there. Paul, don't go. And Paul says, I'm going to go anyway. And if you read the Bible, it's like the Spirit is saying to Paul, don't go. But he goes.
We followed him 2 years or so. He's in Jerusalem preaching. There's not a single convert. Not a one. You know, the Lord told him, they're never going to receive you. Don't go. Go to the Gentiles.
But Paul had such a love for the Jewish people. And that love actually misguided him. Matter of fact, he had to go through a shipwreck. He had to go through all kinds of difficulties. Finally, he gets to the place where the Lord wanted him to go, to Rome. And there, God opens up a ministry to him for about 2 years in his own hired house. So you have this prophet named Jonah. You know, that's the story. You remember that story. Jonah, go to Nineveh.
I can't stand the people. I can't stand it. I despise the Ninevites. Why would you send a Jonah to Nineveh when he despises the people and not send a sore Paul to the Jews when he loves them? Jesus said, my ways are, the Bible says, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. And one thing that happens with especially young people, they think God's calling is going to be in the areas of their lives. God's going to fit it to what I like. That's not true at all. The Bible says to take up a cross and do what? Deny yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Take up the cross, deny yourself, deny your likes, deny your loves, deny your own passions, and I'll send you in a course I want you. And so Paul had to deal with that. He struggled. Jonah had to deal with it, and he really struggled. He was afraid that the Lord might forgive him. He hated him so much. You know, we're doing a ministry for the last 3 years in inner city Columbus, in the ghetto, in the hood, they call it. African-American, drug addicts, prostitutes. Do I like the people? Not really. But we need to be there. A lot of people stay within their own culture, within their own people group. The Lord was trying to get Paul out of the culture, out of the people group, you know? Some of you say, well, I could never go to Africa. I could never go to another culture. I just despise that culture. Better be careful. That's probably where you're called to go. Amen. Your weakness, the things that you really wouldn't like to do, you know, that's just like I think about how the Lord, he was called and we're supposed to follow him. Where was he called to? A wicked world. He left the glories of heaven. He came down to a wicked, wicked world. Do you think he said, oh boy, I get to go down to a wicked, wicked world and die on a cross. It's this very thing I've been dreaming about for years. Not at all. Nasty. And some people miss the calling of God because they don't like it. Don't like it. That's not how you determine the call of God in your life. Amen. Turn with me to Isaiah here. This is another story. We just talked about it. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah has, you know, this vision. He sees the Lord, and he has like a Paul experience on the road to Damascus. But in verse number 5 in Isaiah 6, it said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then I said, I, here am I, send me. Now, beautiful heart, maybe your heart's there today. Lord, here am I, send me. That's where I was, 22-year-old, 23-year-old. Lord, here am I. Send me to the church to be a janitor, I'm fine with it. Send me across the continent to Africa and let me suffer there, I'm fine with it. Lord, send me. Now look what it says. Verse 9, and he said, go and tell this people, hear you indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Oh, Lord. How would you like that ministry? Your calling. Here you are, surrender to the Lord. You're going to get some great calling. Revival. 3,000 saved when you preach like Peter.
great churches are built, all these wonderful things, and here's a beautiful soul, Isaiah, who sees the Lord and says, Lord, my heart is surrendered totally to you. What do you want me to do?
Go preach to a people that will not hear you. No comment. Nothing. Make their hearts fat, their ears heavy. Close their eyes. And then, if you're a 25-year-old young man, maybe like Isaiah was, the answer or the response is in verse 11, then said I, Lord, how long?
Lord, how long do I have to do this? Lord, I'm surrendered to you. Give me a good ministry, Lord. How long?
Well, he says, let me tell you how long. Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Whoa.
How, do you like that ministry? How's that ministry for like Hawaii? You know, preach in the morning, serve in the afternoon.
Yeah. It's not about what you like. It's about denying yourself. Amen. Taking up a cross. And following him. Number three, I've got four here. Things I've learned over the years. This is a big one here. Your calling is not about your safety. Your calling is not about your safety. It's not about safety. Safety is not an issue. What does the Bible say? Jesus said, whoever shall save, where we get the word safety, whoever shall save his life shall what?
Lose it.
And whoever shall lose his life shall save it. Ah, there's a principle there. Lord, I will go to a place that is safe. Lord, those Muslim countries over there, Lord, that 2040 window, whatever they call it, there's a lot of people that get killed over there, Lord. Lord, they run you out of town. Sometimes they throw you in prison. Lord, I'm sure you're not going to call me any place that's not safe.
I have no doubt we get to heaven. Many people, maybe even some here tonight, are not in those places because it's not safe. Amen? Not safe.
It's not about safety. Let me warn you here about safety. You know, Israel got to the banks of those Jordan there, and the Lord said, go in and possess the land. You know what they said? No. You know why? Our women, our children will be afraid. It's not safe. There are giants in there, big ones. And our women and children are going to die. And so we're going to keep ourselves back from what you're calling us to do for safety reasons. Don't you know God gave us a brain to think? Right? He wouldn't want us to go someplace that's unsafe. Listen, the Bible says he sends us forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. You know why sheep can do really good in the midst of wolves? Because they got a real good shepherd. Amen? They have a shepherd who takes care of the wolves. You don't have to fear the wolves if you have the chief shepherd on your side. And you don't have to fear anything. But a lot of people don't go on the call of God or do the call of God for fear of what might happen. I'll tell you a story. I got a lot of stories from my Bible college days. Young man, 25 years old, 28 years old, Bible school, 3 or 4 year old little girl. Young man feels called to go to a country, I forget which one it was, that was pretty dangerous. Little girl was sick, sickly, weak, frail girl. He said, I can't go, I have this little girl who is weak and frail. Another year or two went by and the little girl dies.
Funeral.
Everybody passes the casket. Finally, the last person is the family there, mom and dad. Mom passes by, obviously weeping, and And Dad passes the casket, reaches down, and picks that little girl up.
Now I can go! Now I can go!
And puts the little girl back in the casket. What is keeping you from the call of God on your life? Are you afraid that you might lose your life, your children's life, your wife's life? What? Life? Safety is not an issue. Doesn't the Bible say that safety is of the Lord? Amen? You know, Paul said, I'm in peril every day. You know that passage that we often quote that is actually misquoted, I die daily, is not for me to wake up every morning and try to mortify my members like some people think it is. It's actually in the context of every day I wake up and, I might die today because of the peril that I'm in. I'm fighting with beasts at Ephesus. Three nights in the deep, I've been scourged. I'm in peril amongst false brethren, amongst all kinds of peril. I die daily. Every morning I wake up, I realize today might be my last day. Amen. You say, I can't do that, Lord, because it's dangerous. I think we're going to get to heaven and find out that a lot of people miss the call of God because they said it's too dangerous. I always want to entertain. Give me a place that's safe. Give me a place that I like. Many people are missing the calling of God because they're looking to their strengths. They're looking to their likes. And they're looking to a place that's safe. And God's over here saying, hey, I'm over here. Here's what I want for you. The last thing here that I want to share with you is this. Your calling is something that you're going to walk into, not something you're going to wait for. Let me repeat that. Your calling is something you will walk into, not something you are to wait for. And what that means is this, that there is a revealed will of God, and there is a mysterious will of God. A lot of us would like to know what the mysterious one is. Like, Lord, I'm 20 years old. Lord, I'm 22 years old. Lord, we're a young couple. We just had our first baby. Lord, what is our calling? Lord, can you show me that mysterious place? You know, is it Madagascar? Is it Africa? I was just down in Mozambique. Is it Mozambique? Lord, where is it? Or Lord, what is my ministry? Am I to be a pastor? Am I to be a Sunday school teacher? Lord, what is my calling? So we wait. And we're looking. And oftentimes, we keep waiting. And we miss the point of what the Lord is wanting us to do. I want you to turn one more place here to Acts chapter 16. Here's how Paul responded when he wanted to know the will of God. And I think this is a good example and good counsel for us. You're sitting here and you want to know what the calling of God is on your life. Okay, Lord. I don't care. I don't have to like it, Lord. And Lord, it doesn't have to be a safe place. And Lord, it can be my weakest place. It's all good. But now there's one other thing I think that you ought to do to help you understand the call of God on your life. Look at Acts chapter 16. I want to read 4 or 5 verses here, starting in verse number 6. This is the Apostle Paul here. And we'll just jump into the middle. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia, it's talking about Paul and his companions, and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, that was a closed door, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, another closed door. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night.
And there stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Now, here's something I think we all need to learn. We all need to learn that God is able to steer a moving car easier than he can steer it once sitting still. In other words, here's Paul, and he's already been told there's a command in the Bible, and that command says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, you can go anywhere. Just go. And you preach to every creature you see. That's a command. And as you go and obey what's been revealed to you, the commandment to go into all the world and preach the gospel, as you go and do what I've told you to do, then I'll direct you into the perfect place I want you to be. Amen?
Amen.
If you could picture, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 doors here. You know, Paul had this mindset. And we need more of this mindset. You know, I've been told to go preach the gospel, so here's Asia. Let's try this one. Boom! It won't open. Okay? Well, I've been told to preach the gospel. Let's try this one. And you know this one? No, this one won't open. Well, I know I've been told to preach the gospel to every creature. Let's try this one. This one won't open. Well, let's try this one. And bang! Open. Let's go. In. Exactly what he did. He tried Asia. He tried Bithynia, and the Spirit said, no, no. And the Spirit was directing him. Here's the way he goes. One of the reasons why we don't understand the call of God is because we're not doing that which has been revealed to us. Like, go preach to every creature. Go and live a holy life. Amen. Serve one another. Amen. Hey Lord, what's my calling? What's my life purpose? What's that big thing you have planned? Well, why don't you start working on those little commandments I gave you on a day-to-day basis? And if you'll just focus on that, you'll walk right into my calling. A lot of people are sitting, and they're sitting out here, and they're saying, Lord, I'm waiting for you to open the door. Lord, we're waiting. We're waiting. I'm 35 years old, Lord. Where are you going to wait? When are you going to open that door? And Lord, I'm 50 years old now. When are you going to open that door? And Lord, I'm 65 years old. When are you going to open the door for my calling? Well, man that died, went to heaven and said, Lord, why didn't you open the door? Well, you didn't try to open any doors. You weren't busy about my business. And I can steer someone who's wanting to obey my commandments where they're at. I can steer them to where they should go, but I can't steer someone who's sitting there and saying, I'm going to wait until God opens the door before I do anything. So I would encourage young people, if you want to find the calling of God for your life, is to get busy with what you know to do right now. Like, for example, wash one another's feet. Amen. In other words, serve people in the church. Does that seem so small and insignificant? These brothers and sisters here, just going and serving them and washing their feet and helping them with their children and teaching their children and instructing their children. That's a small thing. I want to know what the big thing is for me, Lord. But you got to do the small things first. Amen? And do what's revealed to you. And after you are doing that, the Lord will give you a vision. You know, here Paul was. Lord, we're trying this way, we're trying this way, we're trying this way. It's not working. Tomorrow I'm going to get up and try another door. And while he's sleeping, the Lord says, here's your calling. I want you to go to Macedonia. Paul's a moving vehicle. And he was steered because he was willing to obey where he was at. And don't sit here as a young person and say, well, someday, you know, I'm looking for God's calling.
God is waiting for you to get busy serving Him now. Right here. In this simple thing.
Pray. Study the Word of God. Win souls, or seek to win souls. Serve the brotherhood. And while you're busy about that and doing it and loving it, you're going to hear, I got something bigger for you. And instead of looking for your calling, someday you'll wake up like I did and say, wow, here I am. I didn't even try to find it. I just walked right into it. Amen. The calling of God is not about your strength. The calling of God is not about what you like. The calling of God is not about the safety. It's not about you waiting for some vision without working and laboring where you're at. But the calling of God is for those who are truly surrendered and have truly lost their life. Lord, find with me. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it sincerely. So as a young person, I want you to find the call of God. The gifts and calling of God without repentance. It's a tragedy to get to heaven and realize God had this purpose and plan for me and I never even partook of it. Some of the young couples, God has a purpose and plan. Your wife is yoked up with you now. You're one. She's supporting. She's a helpmeet to the vision God wants to give you. Husband, amen. The calling of God. Well, let's close tonight with a word of prayer, and then I'll turn the time over to anyone here who's going to be closing. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. And we pray, Lord, I pray for the young men here tonight. Lord, would you stir in their hearts and call them. May they lay aside all the excuses in their hearts. May they give themselves completely to your will. And they say, here am I. Send me. Bless this congregation, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.